Welcome back to the BizNews Rugby Show. As always, joined by our BizNews Rugby insider, Rory Steyn, and joining the podcast again, Neil Smomberg. Rory, do you want to give a reintroduction to Niels this week?
Absolutely. Thanks, Patrick, for, as ever, hosting us and setting up all the tech and the graphics. I refer to Niels as a very good friend whom I've known for actually over 30 years, because Niels will remember more accurately than I, but certainly at the 2004 Athens Olympics, Niels's dad, Wamyani Mombach, was our ambassador to Greece under President Mbeki's regime. And we spent a lot of time at the Olympic Games together, he and I, and we got to know one another. And then I found out that he works for Cricket South Africa, which he still does. He's in charge of the umpires. And I am a service provider, or our company is a service provider to Cricket South Africa. So he's a good friend of more than 30 years, but I refer to him as a walking encyclopedia of rugby, and not just of rugby, of cricket too. But I've always admired Niels's ability to recall memories, statistics, matches, players with remarkable clarity. And that's why I so appreciate having him on our show. We got a very good response for the first time we had Niels on. So with all of that, Niels, a very warm welcome to you. And may I just say that I'm not sure, gentlemen and BizNews tribe, how much of an effect this is in South Africa. But today is a huge day in the rugby world, because at 1400 UK time, which is 1300 in South Africa, Andy Farrell will announce his Lions, British and Irish Lions squad to tour down under. So I, for one, will be watching that on the live stream online. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about round 17 of the URC. It's really getting tight. As a Glasgow Warriors fan, I'm really concerned, because we are only 1 point ahead of the Bulls, and the Bulls have got two way easier fixtures than what Glasgow Warriors have. But be that as it may, that's just my vested interests, and I need to be as objective as I can. So that's a long-winded introduction. Niels, welcome back. What are you up to? Where are you?
Thanks, Rory. No, I'm sitting at home, yeah, looking out over the garden, working from home today, as I often do. Yeah, I'm glad, and I'm also surprised that you asked me back, because I think the last time when we did the predictions, I probably got everyone wrong. Maybe I got one right, but it was a weekend of upsets 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Yeah. So I'm looking forward to again. It's getting very interesting now. If I look at it, I mean, the Bulls are starting to look ominous. Some of their younger players. Jan Hendrik Wessels, who's had a massive reputation, started a bit slow, but he's only, I think, 24 now. He's really coming to his own with some of the other younger players from the Bulls. But I still got a sneaky suspicion the Stormers could be the surprise package in the running. I see, because they're now struggling to get all their players in the side. I mean, I don't know how you could get Marnie Lubbock and Shasha and Warwick Geland and Damien Willems in one team. So, yeah, that's very interesting. So, yeah, let's have a look.
Absolutely. You know what, Nielsen, in terms of the predictions, please don't beat yourself up, because that's the beauty of sport, I believe. And, I mean, the predictions game is just a lot of fun, but I got completely caned this past weekend with the Investec Champions Cup semifinals. I just thought, you know, I really wanted to go with Union Bordeaux Bègles. And their electric backline, and I just thought, you know what, Toulouse have just got too much playoff IP, and they got caned by those electric backs. And of course, most of us, 96% of the Super Brew predictions, got it wrong in Dublin. I mean, what a game. What a game that was. And I have to give so much kudos and big ups to Northampton Saints. You know, they went there with a plan. They were aggressive, they were clinical. People are throwing around the chokers tag now with Leinster, but let me tell you, that had very little to do with Leinster. It had everything to do with the performance of the Northampton Saints, and I need to acknowledge that. I think we all need to acknowledge what a great performance that was, how difficult it is to go up there to Dublin and play that powerhouse of a team. You know, we can argue that Leo Cullen got his bench and his selection wrong and all of that, and you can what if rugby, you know, from now until the cows come home. But Saints, well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I looked at that. Adding on to that, they probably have the world's foremost and most renowned defensive coach in their ranks in Jacques Nienaber, and they find a way around it. And not many people, I mean, I've been following Jacques Nienaber's career since basically 15, maybe 20 years ago when he was defensive coach at the Stormers. If you guys remember Rassie, and then Tutti was, Alistair Coetzee was the coach. And the Stormers actually had a very good run. You know, they had some great attacking players like Jacques Fourie and Brian O'Banner played for them at the time with others, John de Jong and others. But that side of, that's the first time I saw the Stormers never leaked any tries through to the 2019 World Cup and this whole era of the Springboks with Jacques part of it. Our defense are a thing. It's a Springbok thing, but I mean, for them to do that. And Joandre Augustus, or Trokkie as he's commonly known, I mean, he's a guy that needs to be considered for the Springboks. And I think the move that he's making into the URC next season is probably a signal that I want to be seen more and I'm interested.
You're absolutely correct. You know, you think about it, the two previous Investec Champions Cup matches before that, a home game against the Saints in Dublin, were Harlequins 62-0 to Leinster, Glasgow Warriors 52-0 to Leinster. So they've gone 114 points, without conceding a single point. Here come Northampton Saints, cross the Irish Sea, five tries scored against that same team with Nienaber's genius defense. And I think you have to acknowledge that that's what it is. I mean, that just has to be acknowledged, guys. Whatever you say or think, that was a performance for the ages. So well done, Saints. Saying it again for the umpteenth time today. You're spot on, Nils. So we've got as I said, round 17. There's one more round to go after this, and then we're straight into the quarters. The top eight in the URC will qualify for those quarterfinals. And the table is as congested as ever, with the exception of the poor old Dragons down at the bottom, and maybe Zebre are out of it. But everybody else, they can qualify if they win with two bonus point wins with 10 pointers. You know, they can change that table significantly. So why don't we throw that up and let's pick Nils's brain here, Patrick, and see what's coming at us. So Patrick Kidd is wearing the Sharks shirt, and we are going to ban him if he continues to do that. I say tongue in cheek. How do you see this, Nils? I mean, the Sharks are they're pretty set. They're looking at a home semi-final if they can get through the quarters. The Ospreys, arguably, Wales's second strongest franchise. What do you see there?
The Sharks, you know, I have to laugh because you don't know who what Sharks team are going to pitch. Because on paper they should give the trophy to them right now. They're the best in the world. They've got the best players. But when they run onto the field, they're sometimes unrecognizable. But it's at home. It's still pretty balmy down in Durban, I suppose. I don't think it's raining at the moment. So yeah, I've got to go with the Sharks. I haven't seen their team yet, Rory, but it doesn't matter who they put out. I mean, for them to lose against the Ospreys in Durban would be a disaster. I would think so. I'm definitely going with the Sharks by 10.
Yeah, I will go with the Sharks by 12, maybe 15 points. I agree with you, Nilsson. If you look at the form guide there, both teams have won two, lost one, and then won two. And with the Sharks, you just don't know. That doesn't say anything because they are so all over the place. And that same Leinster that we've just spoken about, remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they came there to the Shark Tank in Durban with a B and C combined team and beat them. So that said, I can't see the Ospreys coming with enough firepower with the travel, with the home ground advantage. So I agree with you, Nils. The Sharks are going to take this one, I think. There we go. Both of them have got two losses. And it's very difficult to see where this Irish derby is going to be won or lost, because it's always, you know, derbies are just all bets are off. Form doesn't matter. If you look at that, Ulster, I mean, Munster have only won one of their last five matches. They're sitting in ninth, uncomfortably so. Ulster, everything to play for. What do you see, Nils?
I think Munster's got everything to play for because I'm looking in my looking glass down a few weeks from now, because if there's one side that can stop Leinster towards the final and open the door like it actually opened since we got into the URC. Remember the Bulls beating Leinster in Dublin in that famous game when Johnny Sexton threw all his toys plus the water out the cot and a few other things. So I think Munster, it's a side I'll never write off. And I'm gonna go with my gut here. I'm gonna go with Munster by six. Because they've got a lot at stake. And if you look at the log where they could end up and where they could play, and in Ireland, I think Munster is Munster. I mean, I like saying that the team is what it is. So I'm going with Munster, and I'm actually very interested to see. They also have getting a few players back from injury, I think. So yeah, Munster is also a dark horse for me coming into the end. Even though they're sitting at ninth, but they will qualify for the playoffs at least.
I think you're right. And as we said last week, what you don't want to do is finish eighth, because that means you've got to go to Dublin. And now Leinster are smarting. I think the sides that go there, and Glasgow Warriors is one of them next week, are going to feel the brunt of what happened against Saints this weekend past. So I agree, Nils, it's going to be a tough Irish derby, but I can't see Munster losing this one. Look at their home form. They haven't been great, and they normally are. Very hard to beat at Tonmouth Park. So let's go with Munster by 7 points, yeah. Oh, I'm worried. I'm very worried.
Interesting one. It's Loftus. Cardiff, I get a sense at the moment watching them. Cardiff is playing for the whole of Wales. They are... Because Welsh rugby is in such a lull and a low. Cardiff is playing good rugby as well. So this is an interesting one. Interestingly, the Cardiff scrum half, it's Johan Forster. He was on the Bulls books and he's been playing fantastic rugby for them. So he'll be up for it playing against his old mates. But again, it's Pretoria, and I've been to Loftus enough times when the Bulls tails are up in Pretoria in front of their fans. It's a messy place. Ask me. I've been there with the Western Province Thomas over the years. So yeah, the Bulls, I think the Bulls will sneak it again. And I think they'll be okay. As I said in the beginning, they are starting to look ominous. I don't know if Jake's messages are now starting to drop, but they're looking to be the side that will carry our flag going forward on form anyway. So I'm going to go with the Bulls by 14.
I fully agree with that. I think it's at least two scores, Nils. The other thing about the Bulls, apart from the fact that they've had a surprisingly indifferent record at home, you know, you almost don't see the Bulls losing much at Loftus, but they have done so. But not that. They, as I said in the introduction, are 1 point behind Glasgow Warriors in third. So if both Glasgow and the Bulls win their quarterfinals, the Bulls want that semi-final at home. And let me tell you, if the table ends as I expect it to, which will be Leinster 1, Bulls 2, and Glasgow 3, that means that final of June last year will be repeated. Glasgow will have to come back to the kraal and try and do what they did in the final, in the semi-final this year. And it's a huge ask. I just see that motivation. Yes, the Bulls kind of fixed the problem when they went to Scotstoun and got a hard-earned win there, but they really want to fix what went wrong last year. And I agree with you, Nils. These guys are the flag bearers now for the South African franchises, despite the Springbok-laden Sharks, the Shark Box. I think that the Bulls are going to be too strong for Cardiff. I'm saying 15 points, yeah. Okay, you want me to take this one, Nils? This is a potential banana skin. So Glasgow Warriors have two matches left. This week they travel to Treviso to play Benetton, which is, to all intents and purposes, Italy. They've got so many of the Italian internationals. And you can see there, their form has been one loss, three wins, and then they lost again this past weekend. So I think that Glasgow will take this, but it is a potential banana skin. You can see Benetton are sitting in the very unfavorable eighth position. They were fifth, and I think they want to get back there. They dropped from fifth to eighth just by that one loss last time around, which just again speaks to the tightness of the table. And they will be, their tails are going to be up. So I'm going to back Glasgow, but it's not going to be by many. Glasgow need to start firing and regain their 4+ tries per match percentage. They've let that slip of late. But we are expecting one or both of Huey Pilotto to return. So Sione at 12, Hugh Jones at 13 could both be playing at the weekend. We haven't yet seen the lineups, as you say, because their deadline has not yet come and gone. It's close, a couple of hours. So I'm going to go Glasgow by 5 here. Niels, what do you see?
It's an interesting one. Both these sides got burnt or hurt badly in the last few weeks. I mean, Benetton had a great match at Ellis Park, but funny enough, that was with a, they rested several of their top players, and then they went to Cape Town, and they took close to 50 against the Stormers. And I looked at that because that Benetton side, and I mean, those centers are world class, and they were, I don't know if it's Sasha or what, but they just had a shocking day, and I expect them to come back really storming at home. And unfortunately, I'm going to go the other way, Rory, on this one. I'm going to go Benetton by 1. It's going to be one of those classic games, because if you look at the log, Benetton loses, they drop out. Glasgow loses because they'll definitely come there with, you know, it's not as if, yeah, we're okay. You know, if you drop from 2nd to 4 or 5, the whole thing changes. But I'm going to go with Benetton on this one just because of their team. And they cannot be as bad as they were 2 weeks ago. I mean, that was like, I watched that game and I thought, look, obviously Sasha is now the talk of the town and how he plays. But I looked at Benetton and I mean, I've got a very good friend of mine, a guy called Rian Goos, who played for Western Province in the 80s. And he played in Italy for many, many years. So he's my into Italian rugby. And he said to me, his Italian mates are like, he said someone phoned him and they were crying. They couldn't believe that they were seeing. So Benetton is the flag bearers in Italy. And I think I'm going to go with the home side here. So by 1, between 1 and 5.
You're scaring me, Niels. You are scaring me because you're quite right. When we predicted, that was one of the predictions you and I both got wrong last week or last time, because we said that Benetton would be targeting the Stormers game. They, as you said, rested those players and they were woeful, apart from Sasha's magical moves. So they are going to be on the rebound and at home. They owe something to their spectators. So I'm really concerned. I'm gonna stick with my boys because I have to, but I fear your prediction. Take it away, Niels. Can't see those Dragons, eh?
The Stormers have a problem in at prop. Franz Malherbe, I fear for his career, to be honest. He's got another back injury. He's 34. And I see the same, well, I'm guessing now, and I don't have any information, so don't get me wrong, but I'm scared that we could have, that he won't play again this year, because, you know, it was first a week and then it was 2 and now they don't know. So they've lost him. They've lost Nedling Fischer, and I think I said it last time, that ridiculous red card he got, and then he got a 4-week suspension. I mean, that was a yellow at best. But anyway, so they're without 2 world-class tight ends. So their front row, they've lost Brock Harris as well. Old Father Time looked like he was ready for another season, but he's done now. So they've lost him as well. So this year they've now lost Malherbe. They without Fischer at the moment. They've lost Kitsoff, which they've signed back to come to shore up the loose outside. But I don't think it's an issue. The Stormers are starting to tick over their combinations in the loose forwards. I've mentioned earlier about all those Springbok magicians that are back in, and it's just where they play. Do Damian Willemsen play inside center? Do they play him off the bench? Do they play Sasha at center and Marnie at fly-off? That's very interesting to see what John Dobson is going to do. But I think, look, the Stormers are also an enigma. You never know. But, I mean, I see them firing tomorrow, and I reckon they'll win by 20 plus.
Yeah, agreed. 25 points. You know, it's almost time, Niels. You mentioned when we last had you on that through your dad, you had... he had a great relationship with Dr. Craven. It's time for one of those rabbits out of the hat where Doc would go to Marty's and pull some tight head that nobody had heard about out of some Marty's residence team there. And the guy was rock solid and as strong as an ox, if you'll excuse the pun, Rasekha Futitswe in Che. So yeah, I am worried about the tight end. I'm equally worried, by the way, about the tight end position in Glasgow Warriors. Xander Fagan is injured, and they seem just to be struggling. And Franco Smith was on record as saying that it's the long season, the small player pool, and the trauma, the impact that these players are taking in season after season that is causing these soft tissue injuries. It's not that bones are getting broken, it's the soft tissue stuff from the impact. So I'm worried about that Stormers front row, in particular at tight end. But I don't think that the Dragons have got the firepower to come to Cape Town and overturn them. Yeah, so Stormers by 25. No, okay, so here we go. What do you see, Nils?
Look, Leinster is an interesting side, and they are interesting. I call them an operation. They don't operate like a rugby club. So they don't pick sides and they don't run onto a field. And I think that's part of their problem. That's why they lose these playoff games, because I don't think their players are, their momentum or their ducks are always flying in sync. But it depends again what side they send out. But they can send out any side, to quote myself from 2 weeks ago, and then they lost against Zebra, but they will win this weekend. I think a lot of their long-term plans will probably go out the window. They will now go and try and set people up, look at their game time, and they'll come out with close to their best side this weekend. And this could also get messy, 30 plus. Leinster is hurting. I mean, if you read some of the good stuff and also some of the nonsense coming out, what they're saying in the Chokers tag, and they always lose in the semi-finals. But I mean, as I said last time, this is our side. If we are URC fans and people that follow the URC, this is our flag-bearing side. So, and I hope that they continue. And I was a little bit devastated they lost to Northampton the way they did. So they're going to come out smarting and hurting, and I expect Ergie will be to the front again. And it's just, sorry, not to go off the topic, but it's just great to see him playing a lot of rugby now. And it seems, touch wood, that he's over his injuries, and what a player he is. So yeah, getting carried away there, but Leinster 25 to 40. Yeah.
That said, Niels, Ergie Snyman was roundly criticized after the loss to Northampton Saints. I think he was given a player rating after the match of 3 out of 10 by the Irish media. So yeah, he's on the rebound. But I think I don't understand why the coaching staff, with all of their experience at Leinster, are not getting the picture here, because you referenced it earlier in the very first URC. The iteration of the URC that the Stormers won when they beat the Bulls in the final. The Bulls went to Dublin and beat Leinster because Leinster wrapped their top players in cotton wool, preparing them for the final, and went and lost the semi-final. And they just went and did a similar thing now against Northampton Saints. Okay, nobody expected them to lose to Northampton, but they did the same thing. And there were comparisons made in some of the channels that I was reading after the match. Well, you got a guy like Tommy Freeman, who had a great game and is almost certainly going to start for the British and Irish Lions in the 14 shirt. He has scored 24 tries, and he's played something like 18 or 20 matches, including England Six Nations Premiership, a Gallagher Premiership for Northampton Saints, and the Investec Champions Cup thus far. And he's still got to go and play the final. Whereas they rep players like Geordie Barrett, put him on the bench. I mean, what were they thinking? His man of the match against Glasgow, utterly devastating. He was man of the match in every single aspect. He was winning more breakdowns and jackaling more balls than the loose trio, and they've got a great loose trio. And they're going to put him in on the bench. So I don't think that we fully appreciate the fact that in rugby, being the physical game that it is, it's like going into a tackle half-heartedly. You're going to get hurt if you don't go into a tackle full gas. And Leinster have not learned that lesson. So they try and rest players, and it bites them in the butt. James Lowe was nowhere against Northampton Saints, playing against Tommy Freeman, because they'd rested him for 2 weeks. So I think there's a great argument to be made that from here on in, you play your top players and you give the guys that have got game time, game time. But I'm going to agree with you, Nils. I'm thinking 30 points here. Yeah.
Now, Rory, I have to share. I have a theory on this. So Leinster, if you look at their structures and what they've achieved over the years, I mean, I'm like, I think it's a case study for modern day sport how to run a professional club. However, they want to win both. They want to win the URC where our sides pull out of Europe. We just say we can't do it. It's a travel. I mean, that's a discussion for another day. So what Leinster does, it seems, they tell themselves that we've got three sides that we feel it can play. We have two sides. Then they tell themselves that the two sides are as side A is as good as side B. And then they have like an academy side, I think, who beat the Sharks a few weeks ago. But I think, and I'm going to say it, it's BS. Because your best side is your best side. So I think they believe their own nonsense now. And now it's nonsense, but the plan is the right one because they want to win both trophies. They want to create depth, which is fantastic. But now their balance is gone awry, like you say. You have to, in the big games, you have to have momentum leading up to the semifinal they had last week, if that makes sense. So I think that's where they've got to work out. And if they don't win the URC this year, they've got to have a serious rethink for next year and actually concentrate on the URC and actually throw all the eggs into that basket. Because with all the players, their resources, what they're achieving, if you look at the foreign players that they're getting in compared to some others, you're talking Barrett and Snyman.
Rico Ioane coming.
Rico Ioane coming. So if I think their planning is great, and then I contradict myself, but they're getting something wrong. And as you said, you've got to have a big game or a big 30 minutes before the real big game, if that makes sense. I think that's where they get confused. And again, I really think what I'm trying to say is they believe what they're telling the world. It doesn't matter who plays. They play for Leinster and they're good enough. I don't buy that. Your best team is your best team. And your best team needs to be prepared for the big games.
Poor old Connacht.
I'll take this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Edinburgh has got lots of injuries, Rory. I'm not sure how many of them are coming back. I think Duan is still out. And in a game like this, where Connacht plays and it's open, he will come into his own. I mean, but I think he's only due back next week. And I don't think Duan van der Merwe is going to rush himself back and be sure, because he's a shoe-in for that Lions tour. So I've Connacht impressed. And remember, they nearly beat the Stormers 3 weeks ago. So, and Connacht, they're struggling, but when they play an attractive brand of rugby, a lot of young guys, and they've basically got nothing to lose, I suppose. So I think Edinburgh might struggle in that game. So I'm going to go with Connacht on this one, close, 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm going Connacht by 3 here. And I repeat what I've said so often, Nigel Carolyn, who is the attack coach at Glasgow Warriors, comes from Galway, and he says it's a very, very tough place to go and win. And Connacht haven't really proved that this year. He said to me, "It's the wind's always blowing, it's invariably raining, it's freezing cold, and the crowd are parochial." So although there's no massive enmity between Connacht and Edinburgh in terms of any rivalry or needle, It's still a hard place to go and get a win. So, and Connacht they owe it to their home supporters. They really have not been great. I mean, look where they are. They're 14th and they've had 4 losses on the bounce. So I think they're going to rebound against a very good Edinburgh. You're quite right. They're playing some good rugby at the moment under Sean Everett. And although they lost that EPCR semi-final last weekend against Finn Russell's Bath, they now have everything to play for. I just think they are going to come up against a Connacht on the rebound in Galway. And I think they're going to slip there. 3 points, I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, Rory, I must just say it must be a terrible place if you say it's cold and wet and invariably it rains. Sounds like Edinburgh to me, but anyway.
Or Glasgow. Yeah, you're dead right. Okay, Niels, talk to me about the Lions. You were so correct in what you were saying when you were talking about Benetton earlier. I mean, they were you know, they had those four losses. They too owed it to their home supporters. So this is almost like what I said about Connacht. And they produced, they were magnificent against Benetton at Emirates Ellis Park last weekend. But they have to win both their remaining matches with 5 points, with a win and a bonus point. And they've got our friends from Wales coming across there. What do you see?
It's a tough one to call. I mean, I'd play against the Lions, I'd try and shut them down, play tight. And you can't run around too much at altitude anyway. And you can't start too quickly. That brings the Lions in the side, because if they start quickly, they're very much a confident side. If they start well, score one or two tries. I mean, as I said last time, something about the Lions is off, and then they won that game. So I haven't had any new rumors, but the Lions this season has been disappointing. They're definitely better than 13th. I'm not saying they should and can win it at the moment, but something is off in that side. It's a difficult one to call, but I suppose I have to. So I've got to, when in doubt, go with the home side. So I'm going to go with the Lions by one try, by five.
Exactly what I had in mind, 5 points. Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, as I said, it is a well side. I mean, their national identity, their national confidence are close to broken. And Scarlets, you know, they're definitely going to come out. I mean, the Wales is like us. And New Zealand, they're a proud nation. I mean, I've got a few mates that live there that I used to play cricket against. And I mean, they are absolutely smashed. Remember, they don't have football there. You know, their cricket is average. They've got one county side. Rugby is their thing. Rugby is their, close to their main and only thing. And that was their whole national pride was built on that. So Scarlets are going to come out and they're going to be firing. But I have a feeling the Lions will be up for it. It's an afternoon game. It's in the sun. There'll be a little bit more people than evening games. So I think the Lions, as I said, by six or five or six.
Yeah, the only thing I think that can prevent that, Nils, is the fact that the Scarlets are also kind of tenuously sitting at seventh. That they don't want to finish eighth and they don't want to drop out of the top eight. But I don't think that, you know, with everything considered, all that you've said, I don't think they necessarily have the firepower. Just to touch on it, I know we've said it on a number of occasions, Wales, along with New Zealand, are the only two true rugby-playing nations where rugby is everything to their people. And at some point, it's got to come right. That said, I don't see the Lions surrendering this win that they so barely need. They need to close out their season on a high, because they have been poor. They have been disappointing when so much was expected of them. You know, they are the union or the franchise that plays for one another. It doesn't worry about big name players. And they have got a lot of cohesion there. They fixed their defense. They have got Jacques Fury, one of the greatest defenders that ever played, as their defensive coach. So I see the Lions winning this one by a score, by 5 points. Yeah, going with five. So that brings us to the end, right, Patrick, of the URC predictions. BizNews Tribe, you have full liberty to either agree or disagree with Nils and with me, because we haven't always got those predictions spot on, and that's the great thing. What I do want to encourage, and we haven't done that thus far, Patrick, is I think that what we need to encourage is a little bit of debate. So when this thing launches on YouTube, let's have some comments there. Let's get into it. If you guys comment, I commit to answering those comments, and we can get a bit of debate going there. Let's do that. I want to give Nils an opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the SuperSport schools rugby that he's watched. There were some great matches this weekend past. And looking at the email I received from SuperSport schools, there's some great matches coming up. Nils, why don't you walk us through that?
Yeah, look, I didn't really prepare anything, but it's fresh in my mind. I spent 4 or 5 days in Kimberley last week at the Villa Clava tournament. And what a sport festival that is. I mean, obviously, I was there for the rugby, so I'm going to talk about that, Ted. But there was hockey, soccer, netball is very big there. I mean, it is the biggest sport, some people say, in South Africa numbers-wise. Even bigger than football, or second only to football. But if I talk about the rugby, there were some fantastic games. And the big one for me was Afis playing Paul Roos. Paul Roos at that stage still unbeaten. And then Afis
only lost to Paul Boisei. Yes, that's correct. So, yeah, massive game. But interesting, if I can take you through that game quickly, what happened was Afis had a great first half, played very well. Paul Roos came back in the second half. Afis played into a strong wind, and then a storm broke out, and they had to stop the game. Game stopped for half an hour. Boys warmed up again. They came back, and the wind was gone, and it stopped raining. And Afis got a very, very promising scrum half called Ruben Groenewald. Dad is Konrad Groenewald, played for the Bulls in the early 2000s. Big boy, educated boot. But, you know, when you talk about Pretoria Flyers, you always say boot. That's not his, he can play. He can play. He's got good hands. But then he dictated the game, and they narrowly defeated Paul Roos in a fantastic game. And the other one there, I would think, if you think Paul Gymnasium is just on an absolute runaway train motion at the moment. They won both their games. They beat Devon High School, who was before that unbeaten. They got close to 50 in that game. They've got a center by the name of Marcus Muller. And I'm always hesitant because a lot of these schoolboy greats don't come through, or they only come through to the Sport Pinar or Vodacom Cup or whatever you want to call it. But this boy, he's not exceptionally tall, but he's tall enough. I would say he's about 180. He's close to 100 kilograms, but he runs 100 meters in 11 seconds. There's a lot of Danny Gerber about him. So write his name down, because I think, bar injury, because I've listened to him a bit in his interviews and I met him over there. Humble, typical South African Burki, doesn't have a lot to say, but he can play. So that's the one to look out for. Before I jump off Villeklauwer, because I'd like to look forward to the weekend, because there's some two massive games in Stellenbosch and Paul. At Villa Great College came back with a bang. They had two very good wins. But Paul Boisei looks very good. I mean, they smashed Garsfontein on the first day. Garsfontein, it's not a school that people would put close to the rankings, but I think they're just outside the top five or six. And in South Africa, unfortunately, as much as we say, yeah, it's great, but there's only five sides that are really competing with each other. And the odd one, you know, you have your JP Great College result from last year. But Paul Jim, Paul Boisei, Great College, Afis. That's basically, and then Paul Roos, exactly. So yeah, if I can jump forward quickly, on Saturday, I'm not sure about the times, but I'm sure I think the Paul Roos, Paul Gymnasium game in Stellenbosch will be on SuperSport, and the other game will obviously be streamed, or they might both be, I don't know. And that's Paul Boisei against Grey College. Paul Boisei and Paul Jim, the pundits on the social media pages, your parlor two groups and that and so on, they are all saying Paul Jim will win easily against Paul Roos. And they say that because, funny enough, Paul Jim has not lost at the Markota Stadium since 2012. So that was like before the Damien Willems days. And however, if it was a dry day, and apparently there's a lot of rain in Cape Town over the weekend, and that's going to make a big difference, because I think the Paul Roos pack might have the edge on a very young Paul Jim pack, who incidentally will be very good next year. But they're young, you know, they got 2 meters locked there. Apparently, still played center last year. You know, it sounds like the Eben Etzebeth of old, when Lenny Becker found him there at Hoërskool Tygerberg back in the day. But anyway, so. So I have a sneaky suspicion, if it's very wet, and I bumped into Darby Tron, the director of rugby at Paul Jim, straight after the game. They beat Durban High School last week, and he said he's hoping and praying that the field is in a good condition and it's fast, because that's what's Paul Jim. And now looks like 80% rain in Stellenbosch, so I think that's going to play into Paul Roos's hands. They have a good backline themselves, but I think with Marcus Muller there and their right wing, the name escapes me now, they would have the edge on the dry field. So I think Paul Roos might be lucky with the weather, as they often are. when they play the big boys like Drake Collies down there. And then the other game, a lot of people will tell you Paul Boisei is the number one ranked team and deservedly so. And right now they are. But it's interesting because when I drove back from Kimberley with my mate Sam DeBlanche, and we were talking and we were looking at a team that we could pick from the best players at Villaclava. Bar maybe one of the Paul Boisei props and maybe one of the twins. They've got twins. One plays lock and one plays center. Both are 2 meters tall. Bar the lock and maybe one of the props. None of those guys will make the best side on at Villaclava. So which means they're not individuals, they're a team. And a lot of people think that they're gonna walk all over Great College. And before I saw the rain prediction, I said, guys, stop. Great College is, you know, Great College gets written off when they lose one game. You know, they've beaten Oakdale Agricultural School, which incidentally, if I can jump around, it's probably the biggest team I've ever seen in my life. Rory, you have the inside center is like 195. It's like I look at these kids and say, what do they feed them? But anyway, they lost to Oakdale on the farm down in Riversdale. You know, that's where CJ Stunner comes from. So Greg, I think Ray's got a chance to turn over the books. You know, they got that interestingly built inside or outside center called Ethan Adams, or Tank Adams as he is known. He comes from the Eastern Cape. Fantastic player, short, stocky, very good hands. Peter Rousseau mentioned, he says, they don't know how to tackle that guy. They got it right last week when they beat him in Bloemfontein. So, but Great College, the Paul pack, if it's going to be wet, and I think it's going to be wet, Great College will struggle. I mean, they're going to have to do a lot of things right, and the ball will have to bounce right for them. And as we know, the ball doesn't bound as much when it's that wet. So, yeah, it's interesting. But those are two of the biggest games this year, if not the biggest. And anybody that's got access to a TV, watch it. It's very enjoyable.
Fantastic. Nielsen, I want to come back and talk to you about another derby in a second, but I just want to stand still on what you said about that Adams, that center. When I was in New Zealand, I think it was about 2016, I went there and I had lunch with my friend, the great Michael Jones, one of the greatest seven flanks ever to play the game. If you're ever in a pub quiz or doing trivia and the question is asked who scored the first ever try in Rugby World Cup history, it was Michael Jones. And I said to him, you know, he was known as the Iceman. I said, Ice, what is it about you Pacific Islanders and those boys? Because they all built the same. And in your mind now, think of a guy like Sione Tuipulotu. They've got wide hips, big thighs, barrel chests, but they're short. And they've got feet like ballet dancers, great hands, and they are very, very difficult to stop. So if that's what you're describing about Adams, we kind of need that. Jesse Krill is almost like that, but he's just not quite as solid as those Pacific Islanders. And that's what makes them so difficult to stop in the midfield. And all they need to do is get halfway through a gap, get an arm through where they can offload a ball, if not make a clean break, you know. So I just wanted to make that point, Neil. So I'll look out now for this Adams fellow. I haven't seen him play, but I wanted to ask you about, so the Paul Roos, Paul Jim derby that you've mentioned now, that's going to be played at Markota in probably in the rain. But when is the actual Paul derby? When does Paul Boyes play Paul Jim? I think it's in August. We're just trying to look a little bit further down the line, because that's the 25,000 person sellout at the local stadium in Paul. Can you just elaborate a little bit on when that game will be?
It is always the first weekend in August, Rory.
Okay, thank you.
And you say that the other big derby in August is Great College Paul Roos, and for some reason the schools can't agree to move their date, because every year the SS schools side plays that weekend, and I'm already got a big stone in my shoe and I can't get it out. And I said, God, it's going to happen again, because I've looked at Great College. They're going to have four or five SS schools players and Paul Roos will have three. It takes so much away. So I cannot for the life of me understand how they can. Look, I'll put my Great College cap on and I'll say, if I was Great College, I'll say to Paul Roos, we are moving it either to the Easter weekend, because neither of them now play in the Easter Festival, or I'd move it the first weekend in August as well. And if a Borussia says no, then I'll say, well, then we don't play. Because Great College plays against everybody else anyway, and they will then play them at either Noordzuid or at Wilde Klauwer. But I mean, for last year, people flew in from the States. People flew in from Australia. I had people WhatsApping me that were up in, my brother lives in Brisbane. He was WhatsApping me about the game. He was watching it from there. Paul Roos playing Great College. And there were, I think, 9 players out in the 2 teams that played SA Schools. It was 2 of the 2 best school board teams ever. Now, guys, it's a modern era. There's TV. There's people tuning in from all over the world, rather either straight onto SuperSport or via streaming. And you can't get that right. I just think that is amateur hour, to put it bluntly.
I fully agree, Niels. And yet again, it is rugby administrators just, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know whether they're thinking of themselves, but they're certainly not thinking. I was making this comment on a different channel about World Rugby and some of the stupidity that we see coming out of World Rugby. It's like what Will Carling said way back in the 80s and 90s when he called them old farts. It's exactly what they are. How come we have administrators, and you can, I suppose, ask the same thing of politicians, let's not go down that route, but how come we have administrators that cannot see what the average rugby fan and people who have a real interest in the game and have the game at heart can see? That, you know, I don't think there's an answer to that.
On administrators, funny enough, you know, you're talking about Will Collins' comments, I think Ian Botham's was even better. He says that the members at Lord's, they can't see past the lemon in their gin glasses, and then they make comments. But I think in this case, I don't think it's the administrators. I think it's the schools, because Grey College and Paul Roos are such big players. If they tell Western Province and Free State Rugby Unions, this is the date we want to play, they will fall in with that. And a lot of people are also saying, but why does SARU schedule the match on that weekend? But they're the national body. They mustn't fit in with the schools. The schools must fit in with them. There's 20 other weekends that they can have that game. And I still don't. I mean, I really get warm under the collar when I think about this, because it happens year after year. Not to bore you with the stories, I remember 2010, Great College had one of their all-time great sides. And it was, I think Johan Goosen was in grade 11. And I think they had 8 SA Schools players. They played Paul Roos, we had none. So they lost their unbeaten season that weekend in Stellenbosch by a point. And I'm thinking, the Paul Roos guys will tell you, well, did it really count? The Great College guys will forever say it didn't count. Of course it counted, because you put on the jersey, you play and you represent. But surely you can get around that.
Yeah, so when I was referring to the rugby officials, it was exactly the SA rugby officials that I'm thinking, why don't you schedule the games? Or why don't you at least engage with the schools to say, this is what we're thinking. How can we arrive at a game where we don't lose the best of our SA under-19 players or SA schools players to these important fixtures? Because those fixtures are massively important. And somewhere along the line, somebody's got to take the lead, and it needs to be the national body, Niels. So if the schools are being harachat, then at least speak to them and understand. And I defer to your greater knowledge of schools rugby, since you commentate on the, you know, on the SA Schools channel. And I say again to the BizNews tribe, guys, we are going to get Niels back on once the domestic season is finished and there's a little bit of a lull, and we are going to have an episode that solely focuses on the tremendous success story that is SuperSport Schools and the broadcast of 1,300 live streamed matches, hockey, netball, rugby, and probably others. Every year, 1,300 live streamed matches per year is what South Africa put out, thanks to SuperSport Schools. It's a conversation for another day. So with that said, Niels Meyer, thank you again. Didn't give you much notice as ever, because our lives are busy, but that's often how we make this happen. I'm not going to say much about the British and Irish Lions selection, but we will know by this evening, and we'll also know what the lineups look like for these matches in round 17 of the URC that we've just reviewed. So, Niels, I'll give you any parting comments that you want to make, and then Patrick can close us down. But thank you again, my friend. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's great fun, and thank you for inviting me and just talk about rugby. And Rory, we're hoping that people close to us get selected in that team. The Lions, I mean, I love the Lions. It's fantastic, and I can't wait for it. And I'm a big Kanan Doris fan. And he probably would have been captain. It was either him or Mauro Toji. It looks like he's out. So yeah, that saddens me. But I'm looking forward to that series because the Aussies are back, and I hope they're back. And I see somewhere Joe Smith got another. He's staying for an extra year. I'm not sure, and that's great news because I think he's a great coach and he's turning Australian rugby around. But thanks, guys. Have a good week and enjoy the rugby this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Niels. Thank you, BizNews Tribe. Enjoy the weekend.
Niels Momberg, our walking rugby encyclopedia. Rory Steyn, our BizNews Rugby Insider. And I'm Patrick Kidd from BizNews.com.